This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking once again with Dr. Paul Hochmeier. Dr. Hochmeier, as you may remember, is a regular contributor to Dr. Oz, also to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and occasionally and happily on Telluride Inside and Out. A recent column he wrote for Dr. Oz was Why Men Should Read 50 Shades of Grey. So, Dr. Hochmeier, why?
That's a question sort of that I asked myself for a couple of months. You know, I'd been hearing about this book, and actually a reporter from the Palm Beach Post called me and asked me what I thought about it, and I didn't really have anything to think about it because I hadn't read it. And then all of my friends, female friends, seemed to be reading it, and I was on the train, and young women were reading it, and I thought, you know, this is really something that I need to take a look at and see what all the fuss is about. And so I really read it because I wanted to see why it spoke to women of all shapes, sizes, ages, colors in such a profound way.
So I have to confess, all right, this interview would be a lot more in-depth if I had actually read the book, but I did order it, and it's now sitting on my bookshelf, and I feel peer pressure is sort of compelling me to read it, but from the reviews that I've read and from the conversations I've had with my friends, it strikes me that this is really mommy porn. I hate to be so pejorative, but that's how it strikes me. And almost to a person, people are saying it's really badly written with way too many exclamations like, oh my, or oh crap. So really, put on your, put back your doctor's hat and tell me what you think is in these books, A, what you think is so appealing, and B, are there any lessons to be learned?
Well, I think the appeal comes from the fact that it is mommy porn, and quite frankly, I don't have a problem with mommy porn. I think mommy porn is actually a pretty good thing. You know, I think from we've been so used to having porn as something that, you know, men utilize, and so I think that this is an amazing opportunity for women to kind of celebrate their sexuality and to celebrate you know, sex as a gift, and sex is something that women can enjoy and celebrate. And I love the fact that, you know, women as communities are really supporting each other in reading it, and they're telling their friends, you know, to read it, although it seems like your friends are not telling you to read it. But, you know, for the most part, I was in the train the other day, and these two young girls, about 23-year-old, where one was actually reading the book, and then the other woman was reading a Cosmo article about the book, and they didn't know each other, and so before, you know, they just happened to sit next to each other, and they started engaging in this conversation about the book, and they were really connected over this book, and, you know, just that it was fun, that it was something that they could do for pure, the pure enjoyment, the pure indulgence of it. It didn't, wasn't really meant to be any deep psychological lesson, but it was just meant to be fun and playful and for them to enjoy it. And I think that's actually a good thing.
Yes or no? And here's the no part. And the no part for me is harkens back to other conversations we've had where your constant message is that women, men, well, everyone, must respect themselves first. They must respect themselves first before they can love another person, and it goes on and on. And you're very clear about that. Yet these books celebrate sadomasochism.
They really celebrate intimacy and trust and respect. So I think if you would read the books, you would have a better understanding of it. And yes, it's really not sadomasochism. It's really about dominance and submission. And within that context, it's about trust, it's about respect, and it's about boundaries. And those are things that you're absolutely right. Those are the issues that I think are profoundly important in our lives and in our relationships. I always say that a strong relationship is based on intimacy, and intimacy requires trust. And so those are really the foundations of a relationship, and boundaries are critically important in relationships and in our lives, and setting boundaries of what's acceptable and not acceptable in our lives. And those are things that this book goes into great detail about.
Could you talk about this book as a sort of sociocultural phenomenon? Because You know, look, just to complete the point, look at what's going on in politics today and look at all of this espousing of you know, marriage and, you know, 1950s type marriages and, you know, women staying at home and everybody worshiping constantly. And then this book comes along and sweeps the nation. So can you reconcile those apparently, those trends that are apparently in opposition?
Yeah, I would basically think, you know, I think that women in particular are under assault. Reproductive health issues are very much under assault right now. And I think, again, it's women reclaiming their bodies and reclaiming ownership of their bodies and saying, you know, this is my body and I'm going to claim it and I'm going to celebrate it and I'm going to have boundaries around it. And you can't take that away from me. So I think socially, from a social cultural standpoint, that is what I think is really happening, that women are beginning to be more empowered to take charge of their lives and take charge of their sexuality. And I think that that's part of what this, a large part of the attraction of this book is. And, you know, how it's couched, you know, how it's couched in this submissive dominance, kind of these sexual roles that play out in the book, I think are titillating. But I think, again, if you dig a little deeper and if you look at it from more of a psychological standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, maybe even from an anthropological standpoint, it's very much in the women that I talk to say, you know, it's basically been in terms of celebrating the body, celebrating sexuality, and reclaiming that. And it's not giving up power, it's really claiming power. And I think that's the message that comes out of here.
So that message would be absolutely consistent with feminist messages.
I would hope so. I mean, I perhaps it's a more modern interpretation of feminist. You know, I think in terms of, yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, I tend to think more in terms of a more postmodern exploration where it's very much of where the political becomes personal and that, you know, we don't exist independent of a political context. And so I think it's maybe perhaps a little bit of a hybrid, which is a good evolution. I mean, I think that we need to keep moving forward and we need to keep evolving and we need to keep – the institution of marriage is a great example here where, you know, the institution of marriage should be a very dynamic institution and it needs to change and modify and evolve like any institution, like anything. We know that when things get stagnant that they become toxic and die, and we certainly don't want that to happen to the institution of marriage. And so I think that marriage needs to evolve and needs to change, and I think feminism needs to change and evolve, and postmodern theory needs to change and evolve. And so perhaps this is what this is. Perhaps this is a blending of the two, which as long as we are, you know, moving forward and we're advancing and we're taking care of our emotional, physical, and spiritual health, I'm all for it.
So you don't see a contradiction in the surge of the evangelical movement in this country and the surging popularity of this book?
Say it again, I'm not sure I understand.
So there's two things that are happening. Well, there's many things that are happening simultaneously, but among them, this sort of surge in the evangelical movement and, you know, born-agains, and the surge in the popularity of this book. They inherently feel like contradictions to me, so I was interested again.
Well, I think it's a reaction. I don't think it's a contradiction at all. I mean, if you look
perfect.
At what happened in Cuba when the dictatorship came in and people were taking – people became very sexual and they expressed themselves, their freedom through their bodies and through sexuality. And so I think that the more, you know, the human race and human beings are very adaptive, and so we're very responsive. And so when there's a constriction and when there's a threat to our freedom and to our liberties, then we react consciously or unconsciously. And so perhaps this is an unconscious and a conscious manifestation of all of that in terms of liberties being threatened, women's reproductive health issues, the definition of marriage. There's been sort of a narrowing, right? those, as opposed to an expansive view, it's been more of a focus on narrowing those concepts. And so perhaps this is it's a reaction to that, as opposed to an inconsistency.
All right. And I know that all your bullet points hit upon what you think men should take away from it. Do you have anything to add to the list of five bullet points that we've posted in your post? That women need to feel valued, it's okay for men to be vulnerable and sensitive. Sex is an important communication tool in relationships. Sex is a whole lot more than penetration, and intimacy demands trust. Is there anything else on that shopping list?
I think in terms of, looking outside the box, looking outside boundaries and pushing yourself to explore the world and see the world in a different light, I think it's always healthy for us to do that within the confines of safety and boundaries. I think as human beings, we need to keep growing and keep moving forward and keep pushing ourselves to learn and to grow.
Okay. I think we'll end right there. This is
Susan
B. Brock. Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Dr. Paul Hochmeier. The subject has been 50 Shades of Grey. Talk soon, Paul.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.